Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 639. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Chris had us do an extensive voice recording before the podcast. I think he's planning on having us replaced.
Yeah, you're all AI now, sorry.
Damn it.
You know, I would compare me to freeze up my night, so, you know.
How's the AI going to know what games we played, though? That's what I want to know.
I'm sure I can figure it out after, you know, just pattern recognition.
Does Chris, like, put cameras in our rooms and then, like, that information gets absorbed? Does the AI, like, go on to our Xbox Live accounts and, like, follow our achievements?
So I assume it would just be, like, an algorithm. Like, it wouldn't actually know what you're actually playing, but it would be, like, Tony plays these games because we've analyzed 638 audio recordings.
It would start making them up. It's like, yeah, Europa Diplo Civilization 7. Of course, that's what I play.
Total Banhammer 3.
Earl is here as well.
I will just say I am standing in solidarity with my brothers in the Screen Actors Guild. World famous actor, you know. I've been in dozens and dozens of movies you've never heard of. So,
I mean, I've delved pretty deep in some stuff, so I may have caught something you've been in.
I think they were all ready to make Romania.
They're all in one particular section of the theater that you probably don't spend as much time in.
That may be true.
You know, like how Tuesday's the emptiest day, the quietest day to go to the movie theaters. Those are the only days of the week my movies come out.
On Tuesdays, got it.
And they always show them before. They always show them before noon.
Oh, so. That explains it then. So that would cut into my ability to see your films, Earl.
But Jeff is there.
Yes, Jeff is there on Tuesday mornings to.
Jeff is busy eating fabulous sandwiches.
Jeff is here as well.
Yeah.
So, okay, can we talk about the struggle bus that was that sandwich? Or wake-up wrap?
What?
Yeah, with the Dunkin' Donuts bacon wrap? Is that what you...
Wake-up wrap,
okay.
Yeah.
What is a wake-up wrap? What is it?
It's just egg and cheese, American cheese, I believe. Melty cheese and bacon or sausage, your choice. And a little wrap.
It looks like a taco.
Yeah, a little taco wrap.
Which would be fine, except I saw it. I'm like, that thing is mostly
tortilla
wrap. Yeah.
It's really small. It's like they're it's like not one of their did none of you guys eat Dunkin' Donuts?
Oh yeah,
I do occasionally.
Not many times. But... I used to have their breakfast sandwiches all the time.
Okay, well, it's completely new to me because I usually don't. But I figured it was. I thought it was like really popular. I don't even know why I'm posting reviews about shit that people are like. Yeah, I ate that like 8 million times.
I mean, I didn't even when I go if I am going to go to a Dunkin' Donuts, I'll get like a sausage egg and cheese or a bacon egg and cheese on a croissant. That's it.
Yeah. So like they have their featured sandwiches and then like. Like, this is like almost like on the side of the menu with like their more basic shit, and it's like it's way less calories than like something like that, like a one of their like bigger sandwiches, like something on a bagel or something. This is just like a tiny little thing. It's cheap and it's low calorie, and I don't know. It was actually not bad. I was really surprised by it. But
I assume it's the same food that they always have. Which is, like, yes, I like their breakfast sandwich. I usually do a bagel, and I've had their wake up wraps because I think the wraps used to be like $2 for $3 or something like that. So when I worked in the city, it's a real quick, but it's just like a struggle because I'm like, that is not a sandwich. It's mostly wrap, and then there's stuff like in the middle.
I love the first bite that you took, Jeff. You're like, that was mostly just wrap.
Yeah, and I'm like, I took one more bite and it was half done. It's like, it's really small. Yeah. It's like something you could eat in like less than a minute, no problem. Like,
and I mean, I think that's the point. It's kind of like a commuter sandwich. It's something.
It's just something. Want. It's just something small to hold you over or whatever. You know.
Yeah.
It was. It was like again, pretty good. If I eat like breakfast out, I usually eat McDonald's, and so like I never really gave Dunkin' Donuts a chance. But my McDonald's is remodeling their inside, and I can't do the drive-thru with my mail truck. So I was like, oh, I'll give Dunkin' Donuts. Now I'm like posting reviews of shit that everyone has tried. Although the egg and chorizo, I don't know if the egg and chorizo wrap thing is new or not. That's more one of their, like, I think it might be one of their new items or more one of their, like, bigger sandwiches. That's not as good, although kind of is all right. It's cheesy.
Did you do a review of that one?
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to go through your feed and find it.
Good luck getting through his feed. There's like 12 advertisements in it.
Well, right. I mean, maybe if we support if we can make him make money.
But it's true. If we watch enough of Jeff's Dunkin' Donuts reviews, maybe he'll get picked up by Elon and he'll pay him.
That's right.
For his content. Jeff, you should be posting that to like the 17 other social networks though. So
yeah.
Make sure maybe Dunkin' Donuts sees you.
I could make it more right wing and then Musk will pay me.
Oh, that would definitely
do. I don't know if you guys saw that. I literally just saw that like a half hour ago that like Musk was like paying people like,
yeah, that's what we're joking about.
Right. Is he paying right wing people? Is that
like that Andrew Tate guy who's like facing criminal charges? Like
who's in prison?
Yeah, he's like paying him to post on Twitter. It's like,
well, yeah, it's. I mean, it's not like, yeah, it's not just right wing, but I mean the people who, because I think you have to be subscribed to Twitter Blue, and I don't know, it's dumb, but like, yeah, there's also some terrible grifters. I mean, they're all terrible grifters, I should say. And we apologize about that. But yeah, it's really dumb. Because, like, when you're struggling for money, the thing you want to do is give. Like, yes, I mean, I think people should be paid. I mean, because the people create the content, that's why people exist on Twitter, but not those people.
Not paying fucking nobody to go on Twitter. Fucking use it, don't use it, fuck you. Meanwhile, he's asking fucking people $8 to fucking fuck this guy, dude.
It's $8 a month, right? Like, yeah, that's
like fucking your average person pay $8 a month for I don't know what, and then meanwhile paying God knows how much. I forgot they said it was like a lot of money to these fucking to Andrew Tate, some fucking dude that's gonna go to prison for a long time, like
for like
sex trafficking.
Yeah,
I don't, yeah. Pay him to go on your website. You fucking idiot.
It's a mess out there.
Better love it.
The other kind of non-game news, but I'm sure it has some kind of relation to games at some point, is there was that the leak that the studios, the movie studios, TV studios proposal to the Actors Guild was we could scan in a background actor's likeness for one day. We'll pay them for one day's worth of pay, and then we can use them forever.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I mean, I'm
like, why did they think that was going to go over well? I don't understand what they thought. Like, why would they say that out loud?
I assume their hope was like, oh, we'll put it out and like we'll get something where they won't maybe not agree to that, but they'll agree to like, oh, we'll like use like. Instead, we'll use AI. We'll use like extras for one day of shooting, and that's just repeated constantly. But like, yes, that was probably one of the grossest things I've ever heard. Because it's, I mean, what?
Literally a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah,
it's the new season of Black Mirror has an episode where they do this.
I mean, maybe they're using Black Mirror to road test ideas. Like, let's see how people feel about this episode. Oh, a high positive response. Maybe we should actually do this.
Actors don't even make a ton of money.
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of it. They're trying to just get people who are really short on cash who are like, oh, this one day is going to save me, blah, blah, blah. Here I am forever.
Yeah. It's going to, like, I mean, we don't know what they're paying for that one day, but right now it's not a lot. It's like $125 or something a day for extras. Which isn't, that's not great pay.
No.
The other gross thing that I heard that kind of came out of, because the writers are also on strike, was the leaked quote that they are going to drag this out until the writers start losing their apartments and homes.
Yeah, that's been kind of the
disgusting comments coming out of this.
Well, that's been kind of the plan all along. Like, I think that was like people kind of assumed that's what they were doing, but they got like,
you normally don't vocalize that
though. Yeah, they got people all to you know, go off the record saying that. And I mean, again, it was kind of assumed, like they were kind of hoping, they were like, there hasn't really been negotiations going on, and then everyone kind of figured the reason is because they're just trying to wait for the writers to get desperate. I don't know. I mean, none of this is surprising to me, but
no, it's not. It's just, it's absolutely gross that like now we're just at the point where we're just vocalizing the evil. Like, normally you hide that shit and normal public moves on without even thinking about it, but now this shit's just out of the open. Like, we
now we don't have a choice.
Yeah,
we don't have a choice.
But I was surprised to see this morning that the actors went on strike as well, and maybe together, you know.
Yeah,
right.
And I think,
well, at this point, that's pretty much everything, right? I mean, you can't do anything without those two groups.
And the crew, the Teamsters, are looking to strike very soon too. So. Basically, everybody but the directors.
I was going to say, the directors could do stuff. I mean, yeah. I would love to see what they do without actors or a script, but they could do stuff.
And, you know, I think even if it was the writers on their own, I think the writers would wait longer than the studios, and I think, you know, they're going to win. The actors and the writers are going to win.
I think, I working today. I think the problem, I mean, not the problem, I think for us, unlike, I think the last major strike was 2007, 2008, I forgot exactly when, is I feel like TV was different then. Like, I think, Late Night was a much bigger part of TV back then. So, like, because Late Night's the thing that gets hit immediately, because that's a daily show. So, like, the writers and stuff do it on that day. So, that's the first thing that goes. And then, like, you know, like, this contract also came at the end of the normal TV year. So it's like, oh, you won't fill it. But you'll fill it in the fall when, like, there's no new episode to show. Streaming has a side advantage because they do tend to back off their stuff. Like, Netflix, you know, like, they have shows that they wrap up and then they will hold on to them for months or whatever. And the same thing with movies. I mean, that's what we kind of saw in COVID as well, where like Netflix would continuously have content even when nothing was in production. But you'll start to feel it with this, especially when you can't film anything. I think we'll start to hear maybe early next week when movies start getting shuffled around, because you can't film anything with no actors. And if you did not have a script that was ready, and that means you can't even do rewrites, you are, you know, like, you're boned on that too.
Yeah. It's going to get weird, like, real quick though, because we're in the middle of summer movie season.
Yeah.
And
you can't promote your movie.
There's not going to be any promotion. So, like, you're not going to see, you know, Cillian Murphy or, you know, Matt Damon out there promoting Oppenheimer. You're not going to see Margot Robbie or Ryan Gosling out there promoting Barbie.
Well, I don't know if you folks watched the press conference. You know, the friend Dresser, the Screen Actors Guild, brought that up because like they originally, this contract expired last week, and they got like a week long extension, hoping they would negotiate. And she's like, it felt like, in hindsight, really, it wasn't about negotiating. It was about them. Because really, what, it's like you say, but like, we saw Ryan Gosling and them do, like, they've done press for Barbie.
Yeah.
Oppenheimer had its world premiere today. So the actors got to walk the red carpet, but then
they also got up and left. Walked out in the middle of the film.
Yes. So it's like one of those things where it's like, oh, that's interesting. But yeah, it's I did not realize what it encompasses, because it's not just like a big one is like San Diego Comic-Con's next weekend. That is,
it's gonna be really weird.
That was not, but actors can't go because you can't promote anything. You can't promote stuff you've done. You can't promote stuff you're going to do. So you can't, like I was reading, you can appear on podcasts, but you can't appear, like you can, if you have a podcast, like How Did It Get Made is a podcast by actors.
Right.
But that's not them promoting their work. Granted, I'm curious now because they do promote it at the end of the show, if you can do that. But like, yeah, stuff like that. You can't make con appearances. You can't do podcasts. You can't do promotional. You can't do like those, those junk interviews.
It's going to get real interesting real quick.
It has a ripple effect, I think, too, because like you think of something like Hot Ones. What are they going to do?
Yeah, because like a lot of times you get like, Jennifer Lawrence was just on Hot Ones recently, and she was probably there promoting No Hard Feelings, not like she wasn't just, I just want to go on and eat hot wings. Like,
yeah, it's almost always somebody promoting something and talking about their work in between eating hot wings. But like, yeah, stuff like that where it's like, oh, those people are going to get asked out. Because like it's a very big ripple effect. Like you think about how much these people go and do stuff.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily care for their well being, but I'm also thinking of like, the nerd industry, the reporters, the inside people who are like, oh yeah, you can't like have a scoop about like this person's being looked at to be cast in this role, articles and stuff like that, because nobody's going to be cast because nobody can be cast.
You're going to get a lot of junk articles like fan casting for this possible film coming out. Like,
God.
This isn't our bread and butter, but I'm sure it was not lost on people that there was a lot of casting this week for Superman. I think there was like 4 or 5 people announced, and there's a reason it was like it was just randomly dropped out.
Announce it now, quick, get it out,
so they can sign, and then I assume you can't hear anything else for the foreseeable future. So,
yep. So, entertainment's gonna get weird.
Play more video games.
I was going to say the positive, I guess, if you're a gamer, is that this does not affect video games, because video game industry has a different union, because we had that happen a few years ago when they went on strike.
Yeah. It was the voice actors, right? Voice actors union was on strike. And most of the video game industry is not
union.
Which is unfortunate for another a lot issue, of them. But... Yeah. Well, take it one step at a time, I guess. All right. Well, sometimes we talk about games, I guess. Let's not talk about games exactly, but we, like tangentially, because there's big news in. Video games, it's still kind of ongoing. The Activision Xbox acquisition, the ruling came down earlier this week out of the circuit court in California, denying the FTC's motion for a preliminary injunction in a fairly scathing rebuke of the FTC. Judge Corley did side a little bit with, some of the points the FTC made, although said that they mostly didn't apply.
They weren't relevant to the to the proceedings.
Like Nintendo isn't a high-end console, but she personally would include it in the market
because it is part of the market.
Right.
Like, it's not. Like, yes, you could say like how the industry treats it is different, but it's part of the market. And I mean, calling a spade, it is the market leader. you know, whether people want to accept that or not, like, you can't be like, I mean, honestly speaking, as of right now, it would be more than 50% of the consoles on the market. And that's just consoles. I mean, if you had PC and mobile, it's a different piece of the pie, but it would still be a larger piece of the pie than the Xbox and the PlayStation 5 combined right now. It's also been on the market longer, but yes. I think really from what I gathered, it seemed like they made the mistake of just like parroting Sony's point, and that seems to be what was a big thing that really hurt them. It's like, yes, it sucks for Sony, but that does not mean that it's unfair in general.
That is the funny part, and I think I talked about this last time, where these guys are supposed to be experts in making this kind of case, and they seem to have forgotten how. Like, this is not, like, it's not their job to defend Sony's interests. It's for them to look at the interests of consumers.
Yes, and I do think there's a good case to be made that I it shouldn't have gone through, but that's just me. I mean, I think we all on similar thought patterns with that. Where
there's major concerns with consolidation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the concern that, like, oh, PlayStation won't go to Call of Duty. That was not my chief concern.
Yeah, that's right. Not what I'm worried about.
And them using so much of Jim Ryan's comments as their backbone for their arguments, where Jim Ryan also, like, revealed by Microsoft in Discovery, like, he said he was saying one thing in his deposition, he was saying other things, like, internally to his staff. It doesn't really help you.
That kind of ruins your credibility as a source.
so that judgment came down, the FTC Wednesday night appealed.
I would also say the other thing that I thought was really kind of funny. And I mean, not funny, but ironic, I guess, is how Sony actually having marketing exclusivity on Call of Duty came back to bite them in the ass with this, because they were like, you didn't have an issue with it again, which is why I don't think you should have focused purely on Sony's point of view. But like, they're like, you didn't have an issue with it when you were like, yes, you can market it and nobody else can. So it's, yeah, that was just kind of a weird irony of this whole thing. It's like, yeah.
And like, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, that whole thing. I mean, it's a statement if you could also do with, like, you know, like Final Fantasy 16 or anything. I mean, I think, you know, time and time again, people have said, I think third party, I mean, exclusivity has always been an issue in general, but I think third party exclusivity is a harder pill to swallow, because you are literally just paying to make sure nobody else gets it. Like, if you made the game, sure.
And this is something Sony has done repeatedly, like, so many times.
And it's not like Microsoft hasn't done that, but it was revealed in the depositions and testimony during this hearing that because of the position Xbox is in currently in the market, that Sony doesn't have to pay a premium on it, but if Xbox were to try to do those, they would have to pay far more than what that deal would actually be worth.
I think the other point we need to make on the appeal is that the FTC doesn't get a chance to make their case again. That's not what an appeal is.
No.
So they're kind of fucked. Like, if what they can say is the judge applied the law improperly or whatever, and that is almost never the case. So they're kind of screwed. Like, they can appeal and draw the process out, but that's pretty much all it's going to achieve.
Yeah, it's, and like the appeal, so I guess they appealed directly to Judge Corley. She's going to deny that, and then it goes to a panel of judges who will look at everything and see if she, like, applied it correctly or whatever their arguments are. It'll go to a panel of three judges. And as you said, Tony, like, they rarely are going to side against the judge. Like, unless she was like gross negligence. And it really seemed like the FTC just went in with a bang.
They just blew it. They just blew it. Like, you read all the analysis and it's pretty much, they did not make a good case in any way, shape or form.
When one of their arguments today in their appeal was that, Microsoft and the CMA in the UK have agreed to withdraw the appeal there that Microsoft had. And the FTC, and this seems like really kind of disingenuous in the way they worded it, like, well, because they did that, Microsoft clearly doesn't have any concern over the timing of this, so we should be able to get the injunction to do our full trial investigation or whatever. Where the CMA pulled out because of Judge Corley's ruling.
Yes. almost like within a day, they're like, we're the only holdout. We need to get this taken care of. We've taken a bad position.
Yeah. We need to get what's best for UK consumers at this point, because it's going through worldwide. Like, we're going to lose out here. And our consumers and possibly our workers, like, because if they have to move Activision out of the UK, like, you're going to lose jobs.
Congratulations. The UK has lost Call of Duty. That's exactly what they want.
Right. Or Microsoft like licenses it through like the Embracer Group or something to distribute there, as opposed to them directly. It, like, weird shit can happen. It's goofy, but I guess we will likely know the outcome of this early next week. Is that the appeal process won't take that long,
but effectively, I mean, it's over. This case is done.
Yeah. The FTC can still go through with their investigation and their trial, and then they can force, if they find reason to do so, they can force Microsoft and Activision to divest of each other outside of this. Like, it's just one, you had what, 2 years to do anything on this, and you waited until the last possible minute to try and do anything. So.
And that's part of the point of the injunction hearing, to determine if they have a case for that to, succeed in any merits. And they're saying that case is probably not going to succeed. That is what the.
This saga continues, but it seems that we are reaching the end of it finally, one way or the other. And we'll see. You won't be playing Call of Duty on Xbox until like 2025, though. You'll be playing it on Game Pass. Because I see a lot of people like, it's coming to Game Pass immediately on the 18th.
That's not happening.
Sony has contracts in place. So.
I just, it's weird because, like, we also went through this recently with, Warner and Discovery. We went through this with, what else was the other? Oh, Fox and Disney, where it's like, these things take time. They don't just even once it's like everything is good, it still takes a long time for all of this to kind of to get cleared.
Yeah, I think most people just don't understand how.
And to be fair, I don't think we are intended to. Like, it's not.
No,
it gets to a point where it's just not any. It gets to a point where it's going to happen, but it's not yes, they agree to it, it's going to happen. I mean, a more extreme example, like what happened on Twitter, because it was constantly he bought it. No, he didn't buy it yet. He bought it. No, he, and then he was eventually forced to buy it because it was just this back and forth stuff.
Yeah, it's I think the easiest way probably for people to understand is if you were buying a house and you go through all the paperwork, you get it all down and you've signed, you've bought the house, they hand you the keys. It's now your house, but you still got to move everything in. You have to, like, it's not an immediate thing. Like, you haven't, you're not in the house yet. So, like, even if Microsoft finalizes it, it's theirs. They still got to, like, remove, you know, Bobby Kotick, and they gotta work out a whole bunch of shit to get the furniture in place.
And then the least favorite part of these things, which people always gloss over, is, I mean, a lot of organizations have very similar structures, so there comes the redundancies, and that means a lot of people don't use their job.
Yeah, you don't need, like, two heads of HR. You only need one. And, like, all those positions that are, you know. Bobby Kotick's going to make out like a bandit, though.
Yeah.
That golden parachute's going to be nice.
He was always going to make out like a bandit. I mean.
Yeah. He, like, regardless of how, like, whether they fire him or not, like, he's leaving with a ton of money. I'll just be happy that he's finally gone.
I was going to say, I think that was one of the reasons people assumed that he stuck around so long. Is because, I mean, part of how this came about was that whole investigation into Activision culture. Which I think gets glossed over from time to time. But yeah, it was one of the reasons he was able to stick around or was never forced out. It's like they wanted to see him, see this merger through with him. It makes some level of sense. You don't necessarily need confusion and uncertainty when going through a multi-billion dollar merger.
And short term, I mean, Microsoft has agreed that, you know, once they take over, that the Activision employees can vote on unionizing. They won't stand in their way. They won't try and block it, which Bobby Kotick is actively trying to do as Activision CEO. So yeah, there's that good piece of it that comes out, I guess. I mean, Microsoft has said they will be worker-friendly in this situation. We don't know what that means, but it's more than, like, the union-busting activity that is currently happening there. So, we'll see. It's going to be a bit of a mess once that does take place, and you won't have a Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 on Game Pass immediately, but Diablo 4 is not showing up on Game Pass next Friday, so.
I mean, I wanted to. Right. But that's just me. I mean, that or a decent sale. But yes, it's stuff like that where it's going to take a while. I mean, even now, we're still kind of getting them set up with Bethesda. I don't know. But yeah, what can you do?
We could talk about games we played. That's what we can do.
Oh, before we talk about games that we played, just like, what was I gonna say? Because you watched this as well, I think. The Twisted Metal final trailer, or reveal trailer, or whatever it was.
I did. Tony, Jeff, did you guys watch the, that trailer?
No.
Which trailer?
The new Twisted Metal trailer.
No.
So it's just me and you, Earl. You're the only ones that bid on that.
Okay. I think it looks better than we thought. It's still not great.
No. It looks like it could be fun, though, as opposed to whatever that first trailer they dropped. Well, the first two trailers they dropped.
I'm still not necessarily sure how this is Twisted Metal.
No idea.
There's a clown.
There is a clown. There is guns on cars.
There you go.
Yeah, it's kind of like that episode of The Last of Us turned into a full TV show. Where it's just like this post-apocalyptic world where, like, they're trying to, like, I mean, as far as I can tell, he's trying to make a run through this dangerous area. And he runs afoul of all these people, including Sweet Tooth in Vegas.
It's Anthony Mackie, right? Like,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a courier of some sort.
But yeah, I mean, that's out in like 2 weeks. I still got Peacock, so I will always check out some of the episodes.
Yeah, I'll give that first episode a watch, and if it's entertaining enough, I'll continue on with it.
I mean, my start process right now, it can't be more boring than Halo.
This is true. It's probably better than Halo.
Sick burn.
Yeah, well,
for we'll another reason that Anthony Mackie has personality and is fun.
He does, and aside from that terrible clip that they showed where Sweet Tooth like pinned him up against a slot machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that.
Has there ever been a bigger gulf in quality between a teaser and an actual first trailer? Like, ever? Huh. You see the teaser and you're like, that is shit. And then you see the trailer and you're like, oh, this actually looks entertaining.
Honestly, I was surprised. Like, it was, like, after that like, clip where Sweet Tooth and him were singing, it's like, and I'm sure that's still in the show. Like, that'll be a cringy scene, but, like, I don't know why you chose that. I think we talked about it when we first saw that. It's like, it doesn't speak Twisted Metal at all. Like, Twisted Metal is about cars that shoot each other. But yeah, this one at least, like, I mean, it has like a Death Race 2, 3 vibe. So not the...
See, I would have been happy with the Death Race. Like, but you could make a full show out of Death Race.
Sure, yeah. And I mean, actually, that's what this seems a little more than Twisted Metal.
Right, Twisted Metal is like car versus car combat. This is not, what the trailer showed.
This is like Sweet Tooth has a ice cream truck that blows shit up, and he is the kingpin of Vegas.
Yeah,
like, it is. Yeah, it's weird.
That's what we wanted from Twisted Metal. Kingpin subplot.
Right. But you could make a, like, you know, a Running Man type thing. Or
it's weird because it's like there's a lot of things. It's like when I saw Need for Speed. Like, well, I haven't seen Need for Speed, but I remember watching Need for Speed True and being like, why isn't this just Fast and Furious? Like, yes, it Fast and Furious exists, grant you. But that is what Need for Speed, that is what it's based off of.
Yes. So, and then they did that weird thing with Aaron Paul.
Yes. It's like, you have the perfect format for that. Even if you're like a knockoff, it's super successful. Like, don't try to be different for the sake of being different.
Yeah. So no idea what they're going for with Twisted Metal. But, I mean, as I said, Earl, we'll watch it at least once. We'll watch that pilot. Maybe come back to it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's worse video game material out there. So.
No, I was gonna say it's kind of ironic. Oh, not ironic, I guess. I mean, early impressions are what they. But it seems like Gran Turismo is having a lot of positive feedback from the screening. Though that would also be very weird with. Like, cause they can't promote that movie, which is out next month every year.
Yeah, that's out in August. That's a, I don't know how you do it, cause like the way they've set that game, that movie up is that it's like, it's based on the actual like contest they had.
Yeah.
To like, you play the game, you get a chance to actually drive. Which is a neat idea. Like,
yeah, it's a really cool, I didn't realize it was a thing. It's a really nifty actual true life story. Though I will say, and this is just, I mean, this isn't just a me thing, I just really noticed it. It's like when I saw it and looked at the actual dude, I was like, oh, he's kind of black. And you see the dude, I'm like, oh no, this dude is black, so I don't know why he's so light skinned in this movie. But other than that, yeah, I mean, it looks like it has potential. It's just, not, again, not what you expect from Gran Turismo. But at least this one is based on something around the franchise and not just... I still don't really know what Need for Speed was. Like, I mean, You know what I mean? I don't know. Again, I was just like, why isn't this as Fast and the Furious?
That's 100% what it should have been. It should have been Need for Speed, Most Wanted, the movie. Like, we're boosting cars, and not like not Fast and Furious like 5.
Not like what it is on. Now. Like, it
the been, original like, Fast and Furious. It's or yeah, Tokyo yeah. Drift. Yeah, those two, where it was racing. Like, we're racing. We're kind of underground. We're like, you know, might be jacking some cars here. And we're racing away from the cops. Like, that's all it needed to be.
Yeah. It should have been that. It should have been Tokyo Drift with the first one's aesthetic, like that neon glow city, the dark street.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Don't know where you went wrong here, so.
They tried to make a drama with cars based on a video game, racing game, that has for most of its time been about like outlaw street racers.
I don't get it.
Well, who knows? And like the fact that Gran Turismo has a movie at all is kind of absurd, but at least they did the one thing you could do with it, I guess. You know, what have you guys been playing? Jeff, you play anything this week?
I play this game called Diablo 4. It's really good.
Is it though?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It's really good.
Earl's waiting for it to come to Game Pass.
Okay, we'll talk about it next year.
We heard maybe Tuesday it'll be there. But here on the internet.
I've played some PlayStation games. On the PlayStation 5. Yeah.
Your favorite console now, your preferred venue for games.
I've been playing it a decent amount. I mean, when I'm not playing Diablo, I am playing in the PlayStation 5. Checking out some of the games on the old PlayStation Plus there.
So what are you playing on the PlayStation Plus?
Played through Demon's Souls.
Okay. All the way through, huh?
Yeah, well, kind of. But yeah, didn't really love Demon's Souls. I don't think that's aged very well. I mean, yeah, it's a remake, and so the graphics look like, you know, this might be the best looking.
It looks phenomenal. Like, yeah. Detail wise, character or monsters look great.
But it's there's like so many things in it that got ironed out later on in their games that, you know, just makes it feel really old. And like, the, you know, big thing with their games, like, I think kind of the most fun part besides the exploration and stuff is like the bosses. And the bosses in Demon's Souls are like, I don't know, there's nothing like interesting or cool about them really. So but yeah, I really did not care for that game. So I just had people help me through the whole game. just followed some guy who's like fucking level whatever the fuck, and that's how I got through that. It was really cool, too.
Is it the same way as, like Dark Souls, Elden Ring? Like, you put something down and somebody will show up? Or can you... how do you team up with somebody?
In Demon's Souls, you have to be human. So, like, if you die, you become, like, a spirit or whatever, right?
And right.
The only way to become human again and get your full health bar back, another stupid thing I hate, is to eat an item, like a consumable item that is, you know, in limited quantity, and then you could see people that are looking to help. So it's not you're putting a sign down like or something like come help me. It's you know, you have to be in human form, and then you could see people that are looking to be summoned.
Got it.
It was cool though. Near the end of the game, I got invaded by this guy because I was in human form, and he fucking like killed me instantly. I was like trying to get out of level. I was in a level just farming. I was like, I like just had enough souls to level up, and I was like running to get out of the level, and this guy invaded and killed me. And then like 5 minutes later, I got a message on the PlayStation, and it was that guy, and he's like, "Do you want help with anything?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure. I got these 3 levels left," and he just fucking did the 3 levels with me. with me.
Oh, I mean, guilt. He helped you out of guilt.
I don't know. That poor boy. I think what it is like the people that are still playing that game, because it's a few years old now, they're like so looking for something to do at this point that, you know, they're like, saw this new player who, you know, clearly I'm new. I just got like destroyed by this guy. He's like, do you want to help with anything? I'm like, yeah, let's get to the end of this game. So yeah, I don't know. I really like, it's really hard to go back to that one, in my opinion. Like, that is not one I would recommend to you guys. Like, to me, Elden Ring or Dark Souls 2 is, like, strong recommends. This is just, like, dude, I don't even really like playing it.
I don't enjoy playing most of them, but at least Elden Ring has that. Like, I can, like, wander around and explore. Like,
yeah, you'll find things. Yeah.
Yeah, this is level-based, and like, which I like in a certain way, because, you know, it's, like, I can master each level, but it's so archaic.
Yeah. Okay. There's so many things that, like, hold that back from being fun.
Yeah.
The levels themselves don't have bonfires or anything, and it's just, like...
No, it's like you need to run through and do it. Like,
yeah, make it really far and find a shortcut or whatever, you know. Yeah, it's... I think, you know, it was done better in all the other games. It's interesting to see where they started. I played a few other things, but the one I've been playing the most of is Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart.
Yep.
Which I am pretty far. I think I'm like near the end of that. That's a really fun game. Well, first off, I think that might be like one of the best looking games I've ever played. Like,
it's very good looking.
Even better than Kirby. Like, it is just beautiful. I mean,
when Ratchet, the original Ratchet came out, it was like always the thing. It's like, oh, it's like you're playing a Pixar movie, and it's like, they've hit a point where it is cinematic animation quality with that game now. Like, it's so good looking.
Even setting that aside, just like the lighting, the particle effects, yeah, like beautiful. Yeah, it's just, like, it's crazy, and it's, like, all sorts of different, you know, like, the levels, like, look really different. A game is a lot of fun. Just, you know, it's Ratchet and Clank, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't enjoy Ratchet and Clank, you're probably not gonna, like this, but if you enjoy that, like, has lots of different cool weapons, lots of ways to traverse things.
The controls feel really good. Yeah. You know, like, the majority of the game is just, like, these gun battles, right? But you have insane guns. Like, there's a topiary gun that, like, throws out a sprinkler, and the sprinkler turns the enemies into topiaries.
They have great weapons.
This, they always have. You know, it's been a while since I played one, but this one, like, it feels really good swapping between, like, you know, you'll, like, run out of ammo on one gun, and you're like, all right, I'm going to swing in. Like, yeah, it just, you know, they all feel really good. And, yeah, again, that's, like, most of the gameplay, and it's fun. And, like, I think this might be new that, like, there's, like, you can always, like, jump around when you were shooting, but now there's also a dash. And it just feels and looks good. And then the game's broken up here and there with, like, little, like, mini puzzle levels, like, where you play as Clank or as this little glitch thing, this little spider. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll have to go in and hack a system or something, and then you play as this little spider. It's fun.
I like the spider ones. I didn't think the Clank ones were as good as they had been in the past, but...
Well, yeah, and there's,
they're not bad. They're just,
they come up with, like, new ideas for what the puzzles are in each game, I think. Like, I don't know, like, there's always, like, some different hook.
Yeah.
There's the ones like, oh, you're going, you know, you're playing with time. The Clank ones in this is just, like, kind of leading a line of robots from A to B, but you have to, like, you know, solve puzzles in the level to get them from A to B. It's not super long, at least from what I could tell. It's, like, pretty short, actually. But, like, despite how fun this game is, this is not a game that, like, I want to play for a long time. I just kind of, a nice, like, 10-hour experience. Like, I'm getting to the point where I'm like, all right, this is good. But, you know, it's not something like, Diablo or Elden Ring where I want to spend fucking forever in it. It's just, you know, it's fun, it's pretty, and I guess pretty short, so I must be close to the end. But yeah, it's like, out of all the PlayStation games I've tried out so far, easily the best one.
Nice. Nice. Yeah.
That's kind of it. Yeah, you know, I have a few other things. I tried out Returnal for a minute. That, strangely enough, has controls that feel almost like Ratchet & Clank, like almost exactly, like really
okay.
Tight, snappy controls. Have you tried that one?
I haven't yet. I want to, because like, oh, it's kind of like Metroid, but then like I keep hearing it's a roguelike, so.
Oh, it very much is, but yeah, you know.
I mostly dislike them.
Again, did not play a ton of it, but again, the controls feel really cool, and it's like, it's cool, it's like playing a shmup, but it's a 3D, you know, like third-person shooter, but it's just, it has that feel to it, where it's just like, almost like a bullet hell going on.
Yeah, which makes sense. Housemark has made some games like that, like with the bullet hell bosses and stuff, so.
There's a lot I liked about it from what I tried. I could see, like, getting into it a little more. What the trouble is, yeah, like, am I ever going to get anywhere in this? And then, like, from what I could tell or heard, like, a successful run is really long. So it's like, that's never going to happen. Like, this is really cool and neat. Like, you should definitely try it out because it's on, if you have PlayStation Plus, it's on there. But, like, you'll like the controls. Like, they feel really good. Like, it's got the same, like, almost exact same, like, dash move that Ratchet and Clank has. It just feels really good. It's got cool atmosphere and it's neat. It's like it's a neat game. Will I ever get far in it? I don't know. Will I have the time to, like, it seems like something you would have to sink some time into to get, you know, your permanent progress done so that, like, the runs get easier, you know what I mean? But yeah, that game seemed neat. But yeah, easily the best thing is Ratchet and Clank. That's like a must play, I think, if you have a PlayStation.
I'm drawing a blank on the name of the game, but there's like a little, it's almost like a demo for the PlayStation controller. Did you play that one? Astro's Playroom?
No, I turned off all the cool shit on the only thing, you know what I do like about the PlayStation controller is the speaker in it. I think that's like a, I don't know why, it's a gimmick that I actually like. But I've not tried that.
Yeah, it, when it's used well, I think it's fine. It's
Horizon Forbidden West uses it really well, but you won't like that game.
I think that Ratchet is pretty neat. Like the ricochet gun sounds coming out of it. Like, I don't know, it's not something I need or anything, but it's kind of neat. Like, yeah, I'm liking the PlayStation.
The experience.
More games, yeah, more games to talk about next time, but yeah.
I mean, if you liked the Spider-Man, Miles Morales is
a
very, very good Spider-Man game.
And it's also, if you want a short experience, that is maybe 10 hours, if that?
Yeah.
It's
terribly less than the original Spider-Man.
I did think about downloading that, but I was like, do I want to play this like a couple months before, or just like kind of going to, you know, going to Spider-Man 2 ready for that meal, you know what I mean? Like, yes, let's play, you know.
And then you could always come back to Miles and play that one, like, you know,
another time.
Or, yeah, when you're like,
be like, oh, why is this so much worse now? The controls were so much better on that other game.
Spider-Man 2 will not be on PlayStation Plus when it comes out, right? Like, they don't do that.
No, they don't have to buy that one.
Okay.
That was something that came out of the Activision Xbox thing, is that they spend so much money making their games, to the tune of The Last of Us Part 2 was $200 million that
they can't give them away for free.
Yeah, basically they can't use them as to pull people into their subscription service. They need to recoup the money directly.
So it is fascinating to actually hear budgets of games. Because again, to be fair, we don't, I mean, movies are also just guesstimates out of time.
Yeah.
but
$200+ million for The Last of Us Part Two, and close to 2,000 people worked on that game. I mean, that includes contractors and other stuff that probably weren't full time. I did.
Yeah.
Is that on PlayStation Plus?
I didn't look.
I think it's worth playing. I think it's, you know, it plays like a Naughty Dog game, but better, because they've improved since The Last of Us and Uncharted 4. I think they've improved it. Like the last Uncharted game, which was Lost Legacy, I think that's the best controlling Uncharted game.
Yes.
And Last of Us Part 2 is like still suffers from some of the same shit that Naughty Dog games do. Like they'll put hordes of enemies that are, it's just annoying to fight sometimes, but it's not a bad game. People got upset about that game for stupid reasons, so.
Wait, people get upset about this stuff for stupid reasons?
All the time.
In this industry, never.
So, was Last of Us 2 PlayStation 5?
It was 4.
See, I don't know, because I got the mid-tier of the PlayStation Plus. I don't think I get PlayStation 4 games. I don't know.
I honestly don't know how that
works. I thought the highest one got you to PlayStation like 1 and
the 2. The old ones. It does. Yeah, yeah.
It gets you the classic games.
The mid-tier one.
The mid might have PS4 and 5, maybe?
Yes.
Okay.
It's very confusing, because like, in theory, I would think that the mid-tier would be the one with the retro games, and the highest tier would be the ones with the recent-ish games. But
I kind of get it. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I kind of get their like what they're doing there. And like the difference in price is not that bad over the course of the year. But I only got 3 months of PlayStation Plus just so I could, mainly because I wanted to play Ratchet and Demon's Souls. And so I've got that out, and I'm just digging around, seeing what else I can play in the next 3 months. Got Rogue Legacy 2 downloaded. I'm going to mess with that.
I'd be interested to hear what you say about that.
Ooh, I got the Bridge of Spirits.
Kena.
I'm guessing I'll like that.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, we need to find out what the AI says for you.
Yeah. Please get us more data, Jeff.
I think that might be, I don't know. We'll see how I feel after Ratchet, if I go into a Returnal or that. It's going to be one of those two, probably.
Okay. I mean, it is not like either of those games, so. Let's see. Earl, what is WrestleQuest?
That is a good question.
That is Earl's life story. It's going to be what his memoirs are going to be called.
But, so yes, I mean, it was not advertised super well. But I don't know if you folks, ID at Xbox was this week. So if you don't,
yeah, I didn't know that until after the fact.
Yeah, nor did I. I just saw somebody talk about it, and it's like, so like ID at Xbox is like Xbox is like in the game showcase or something like that. And it was like Wednesday. No, it was not Wednesday. It was Tuesday. I guess they had it, and it was like, oh yeah, you know. So they released the demos during the week and stuff like that. There's a couple of big games or games that I kind of see. Stars is there. I downloaded that, but I haven't had time to check that out yet. But one of the games they had was WrestleQuest, which was a game I've been interested in for some time now. I'm sure you've all been following it. But for you know, those at home who haven't been, you know, watching it with bated breath, it is a wrestling RPG that somehow got the likeness of like fame. I'm not even going to say semi-famous, famous wrestlers as part of the game. So like, you know, the big draw of the game, I guess, or not the big draw, but the big mentor figure is Macho Man Randy Savage. So he's kind of like the legendary figure in the game that everybody knows about, and he's beloved and all this other stuff. So it, like I said, it's an RPG. It's an actual, it's a turn-based RPG that kind of, not kind of, it plays out like a wrestling show. So you have matches, and like the matches feel like how they would in wrestling. So you have, you have your strikes, your punches, and your kicks. You have like your gimmicks, which are kind of like your different types of special moves and abilities. You have the ability to taunt. Showboating is a big part of wrestling, and each one, is kind of like, what am I trying? It's kind of like Paper Mario in a way, in that like you have like time-based attacks that add to certain moves. Like when you attack, when you strike somebody, you can press in a button to do additional damage, and that additional damage might force them to rebound off the ropes. And then you can do another prompt to do more damage to them. So that works out. You can taunt, and that builds up your meter, and you do double, like, it's a buff. So like you miss out on that turn of attacking, but you get the ability to like the next time you attack will be much stronger. And then outside of the ring, outside of the actual wrestling, you navigate the world, you explore, you do side quests for people. But then there's also the ability to do promo. So you talk to, you talk with your fellow competitors, and based off of that, like you can give, you could trash talk, you could, talk big on them, you can offer them praise, but you have to kind of read the conversation, and like the audience will react to it depending on your dynamic and your relationship. All of this sounds really fun. It does not correlate really well into a game that I'm enjoying. I mean, granted,
Oh no.
the demo is like an hour, but it's a tutorial demo, which is fine. So you don't really get to play any match. You get what am I trying to say? You get to what you get to play two or three matches, which are tutorials. So it's a lot of like, press this button and this does that and this does that. And then the final one, which is kind of more open, is one that introduces essentially boss requirements. So it's like for that one, I mean, if you don't know, wrestling is a fake sport.
No.
Real entertainment, fake sport. But like one of the it's like for this boss encounter, it's like you have to use the match, but you have to use the match in a particular way, which is that like you beat like basically you're the bad guys in this match, so you beat up the people, you do so much damage to them, but like you do enough damage that they get strong and they kick out of like your finisher, and then they beat you on a roll up. So like you have to do like you have to get them tired, you have to do this move on. Like you have to get one person tied, then you have to like get another person into a, like you have to do a special move on this person, then you have to pin this person, but you have to make sure that they kick out. And the way you pin in this game is like you pin, and then there's like a quick time event on how you get the three count. So you if you miss it, like they kick out and they get a like 25% health back or something like that. But like yeah, so you have to make so I just failed the first one. They kicked out, then it goes into like an animation where it just beats you, and it's like, okay, that's fine. But again, it's like it doesn't really show me much of it shows me like, oh, what this game can be, but it's like, oh, the actual gameplay is like I feel like they needed more I needed more time with it. Like again, you have a party system as well. You don't really get to see that. You got to see the managers very briefly. So there's aspects of it that I'm like, I want to see more of. And like this demo didn't offer enough, but honestly, I think fundamentally, and this is just an old soul to me at this point. I really where it kind of lost me is it does that thing that I wish games don't do as much anymore. And I'm happy for it, where it's like your default is like a walk, and it's a very slow and clunky walk, and you have to hold down a button to run. And they don't teach you that for like the first 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, this is very tedious. And then you do learn how to run, and it's like, okay, it gets slightly better. But I'm like, this is dumb that you have to hold down this button. And then it's like one of those games where it's like everything you have to like walk a very specific path because like your character will not navigate around anything if you're not
Yeah.
very, very much next to like this path. Like you can't veer off. You can't like you can't be like 5 degrees higher than it needs to be or something like that. And I'm like, I think I get it, but I really wish I think that's something we've gone past. But yeah, like I said, I wish I enjoyed it more. Again, it's only an hour long demo. I'm sure there could have been more that would have been interesting, but it just ended and I was like, oh, this is the game, I guess. So
is that coming to Game Pass?
I don't know. I didn't hear anything about it, but again, I didn't watch the ID.
Right.
Because you would hope that like all these games you showcase, you would want on Game Pass, like day one or something. But who knows? Who knows? And then the other game I've been playing, I think I was going to talk about it last week and never got. We've talked about a bunch of stuff. Is Justice League Cosmic Clash. I honestly don't even know if you folks know what this game is. It dropped at the end of last year, very very quiet release. It is an isometric beat 'em up starring I don't even know why it's called Justice League. It stars the Trinity, so you play as Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, and you alternate between them. And honestly speaking, I got this because it was on sale for, I don't know, I think $20 or something like that, if that. I don't even remember where I got it on sale at, but it was super cheap. And I was like, I didn't expect anything of it, but honestly, I've enjoyed it. It's a ton of fun. It's a simple game, don't get me wrong. I'm not gonna like, sit here and say it's like some complicated adventure game, but like you know, it's a very charming you to beat 'em up. There's RPG elements, so you know, like you have a variety of moves. You know,
you lost me, Earl, when you said there was an isometric beat 'em up that had Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman in it, and you didn't own it at launch
because it didn't. I'm confused. It didn't look like a game I would pay full price for, and I don't think I would have paid full price for. But on sale, yeah, it's been on my radar.
Who are you, Earl? Who are you?
I'm a cheap.
I don't know you anymore.
I think my cheapness is well known. I mean, it's the same reason I've not picked up Diablo, because I know that game's going to be like half off come Christmas, before Christmas, I should say. But no, yeah, it's honestly, It's weird. I think it's one of not that there's a ton of things outside of the Arkham games. It's one of their better games in recent memories. It's one that remembers like, oh, like yes, DC is kind of cheesy and campy and stupid. Like right now, because like one of the things, you know, you get unknockables. You get comic book covers and you can use that to unlock different superhero like costumes from their history. So like right now I'm running around as Rainbow Batman, and yeah, like the big bad of this game is Mixupix, which is a name I can never pronounce, which is part of the reason. Like the enemies are whatever. You go around, you fight fish people and stuff like that. It's Happy Harbor. I mean, I don't know if you know your Justice League history. That was like where the original headquarters of the Justice League was set up, and that the mountain there. You get like you know like you get support characters like right now have Cyborg. I'm assuming because like the other Justice League members, Green Lantern, Flash, and I want to say Aquaman, there's four of them, have been possessed by Starro. So, like, right now you're trying to figure out how to, you know, rescue them and stuff like that and do stuff along the way. You unlock, you know, different abilities and powers. Like, again, everybody has the basic, you know, strong attack combos. You can hold it down for a strong attack. Then you have like your special abilities, like Superman. At one, you have a special, then you have an ultimate. Superman, he has heat vision, and then he has like his cold breath that freezes enemy in space. Wonder Woman has her lasso, which pulls people closer. She can also create like an energy shield, which will knock them away, and then she will. Then I don't know. I mean, I guess this is kind of in the movie. She will shoot a bunch of. She will rain down a bunch of arrows on the on your enemies. What else? Batman. He has, you know, he has his batarang as his long distance attack, and then at some points he will call like a bat pin, and that will just like laser people from a distance. And then you can call a swarm of bats that will attack people and swarm you as well. So yeah, it's very cute, and like the moves and the combat is, you know, again, beat 'em ups are not necessarily overly complicated, but it's fun enough and different enough switching between the three characters and their style. You know, managing their health. There's also elemental attacks, so like, you know, like you have to attack certain enemies to break their shields with different types of enemy elements. So like there's poison, there's heat, there's cold and stuff like that. And again, like I said, I really, if nothing else, it's like I like the humor of the game, where it's just like, yes, we're going to be goofy, we're going to be silly. And I think that's something that DC often forgets, that they are kind of the home of very campy heroes in the universe that's full of a fifth dimensional imp that can take the shape of whatever, and his main goal is just to troll Superman, honestly. So
I like the art style. It's really kind of cutesy looking. So
yeah, it's not necessarily chibi, but it's kind of like that.
Yeah, a little bit. It's not yeah. quite that not quite that cutesy, but
yeah.
It's nice. Looks fun. You got it on sale?
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking at like $40 regular price seems maybe a little high, but otherwise, yeah. Like
it's yeah. The only thing, and I mean, it wouldn't affect me, but I remember when this was coming out, was like it is weird that it does not. It's not co-op. But I mean, you do. I mean, part of it is like using the different characters at different times. But it seems like a game that would be prime for like two or three player co-op, having everybody play one of the characters. So,
right. And did you play anything else this week?
Nothing that I've not talked about to death. You know, more Fortnite, more Deep Rock Galactic. Though that does have a new season, which has introduced some new enemy types and challenges. So that was me and my friends really got our asses kicked several times when we played this week. So that was humbling.
All right. Played a couple games this week. I finished a game called Planet of Lana, which is on Game Pass right now. It is a puzzle platformer, like a narrative puzzle platformer, I would say, in the style of like Inside or Stella. It's you're walking across, and like you're going to come across these like narrative bits that are going to kind of feed you the story. There's no actual dialogue that explains the story, but you'll pick it up as you see events happen on the screen, and then you'll have like these puzzles to get around the environment. You get this little cat-like creature at some point, and she'll help you kind of do certain puzzles and stuff. It got okay reviews. I think it like scored in the 80s. It's fine. It's a bit slow. I don't think that the puzzles are super engaging. There's always like one clear solution on how to kind of get by everything, and it's like if you don't do it perfectly, you're dead. And So it's like, oh, that's the solution, and I'll just do that and move on. Visually, it's really nice. It looks like a, you know, a hand painted animation type style, like not computer animated, but like the old what's that Studio Ghibli? It kind of has like a look to that.
Oh, nice.
It looks like 2D Breath of the Wild almost.
Sure. Yeah. 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 It's that's a good way of describing it, Jeff. I think it has a really nice art style to it. And it's short. It's like, I think I finished it in like 4 hours. And the only thing I didn't, I got every achievement except for the one for beating it without dying. And if you got that and all the other achievements, there's like the platinum achievement. So, it's fun enough. Like if you're like, I just want something to kind of like screw around with, it's maybe worth giving a go. I am surprised that people like scored it as well as it did. And I think it's just kind of okay. And what was that?
Squirted?
Scored.
Scored it.
Scored it. Scored it. Scored it. I'm sorry. I mumbled my words into one. But yeah, like the review scores for the game.
They scored it for it.
Yeah, they scored it for it. They squirted it out a little bit. The other game I played is one called, I think I talked about this previously. I got a code for The Bookwalker Thief of Tales, which also on Game Pass, so I didn't end up using that code. Might use it for something later. I don't know if the code will actually work. We give it away or something. But anyway, it's on Game Pass. I'm playing it on PC. Which I think is where you should play this game if you're going to play it, because playing with a controller is absolute trash.
Oh, no.
And I quickly moved to mouse and keyboard. It's fine. And so when you start out, you're in this like first person area. You enter an apartment and you're kind of like walking around this apartment in first person. But then once the game kind of gets going, you are a writer in this futuristic world. Writers have the ability to, they don't just kind of like write out their stories. They actually go in and shape their worlds in the book. And writers have the ability to kind of maneuver between written word and do that. And they can pull stuff out of the world and bring stuff into it. And whatever, I don't know what happened, but this guy has, he did something against the law, and he has been banned from writing anything for 30 years. And there's like a shady deal and to get his shackles off so he can go back to writing. He's like working for this, this criminal group, that is going to lower his sentence in some way. And by doing like what he has to do is he has to go into books and he has to steal shit from them. So the first one you're jumping in, you're stealing like a magic potion that gives a eternal life. The second one you're stealing Mjolnir, Thor's hammer. The last one I just did, you jump in and steal Excalibur, but it's not like you don't go to King Arthur's castle. It's based on a story where Excalibur, the sword in the stone, has become this relic, this holy relic, and it's now in the future, and they're traveling the cosmos trying to find somebody who can pull the sword out of the stone. So, like, neat concept and all that, but that part that's played is just a regular point-and-click adventure. So you jump in, it becomes isometric, you're walking around, clicking on stuff, picking up items. There is some turn-based combat, which is okay, it's not bad, but all of this is absolute trash with a controller. it doesn't show you very well what you're selecting, like on the menus and stuff. So sometimes I'm just like pressing A and shit's coming up that I don't want to come up. I ended up like just putting my controller to the side and playing with the mouse and keyboard. Works much better. Game is fine. I think if you like point-and-click adventure games, you might get a kick out of it. I think it has a neat concept. And the story seems to be building to something neat as well. Like, you're, these things you're stealing, they're getting more and more elaborate and more... seems like you're stealing more and more powerful things out of books. And the cool thing I noticed on the last one is, so the cover of the book I jumped into had Excalibur on the cover in the sword. Like, in the sword was in the stone on the cover of the book. And when I came out of the book, I had the sword and it was gone from the cover.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah.
So, yeah, and it says, like, that you have, like, this companion, and it says, like, you're changing things in the book. If you take this potion from him, he cannot revive his wife, so he will live a loop or he will succeed in getting it. But then something is happening, and you're not allowing him to revive his dead wife because you've stolen that. So, like, you're making changes. There's also morality in it. Like, you can choose to do this, you can choose to take half of the potion so that, like, you fulfill your contract, but he can get success with that one. I accidentally broke a magic wand, and the guy that contracted me was all pissed, but I think there's a way that you can get out of that mission without breaking it. But that would have impact on the world, and it would have an impact on the book that you're leaving. Neat concept. But if you do not like point and click adventures, you don't like those type of puzzles where you're, you know, getting items and putting them together to do something else, I don't think it'll work for you. But I think it's a really cool concept, just executed very amateurly. And that's it for me. Tony, play anything this week?
So the Steam summer sale was the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's so many games coming out that I didn't want to get too much.
Understandable.
But I did pick up one game, Against the Storm. It's a Dark Age city builder. It's got a pretty cool premise. So basically, the entire world has been destroyed by this storm, and you are taking refuge in this place led by the Storm Queen. And she sends you out to build a town and fulfill quests as you build that town to send, like, supplies back to the keep where she is. And then you go from that town and you build another town and another town, and you're, like, chaining them together. So your towns can all, like, trade between one another if you're, like, short on items to fulfill a quest or whatever it happens to be. But then at some point, in each town, like, time is passing as you play. And when you hit X number of years, there's another storm that destroys the entire world. You're choosing where these towns are. And so there's a map with, like, locations on it and whatever, but when the world gets destroyed, like, everybody runs back to the Citadel. You spend time there while the storm takes place, and then you come back to the world and it's completely changed.
Are your towns destroyed, or are you just, like,
they're all gone, building and they're gone? Okay. No, they're gone. Okay. So you keep ending up having this, like, cycle where you're, you know, building out a bunch of towns and filling all these quests and then watching it all get destroyed. But as you do that, you like level yourself up, you unlock new buildings. So, like, as you go through, like, the towns you build on the first run through are completely different from the ones you build on the last one. You have, like, little villagers that you send out to, like, do stuff. They're from different races. So there's a race of beaver men, which are really good at, like, chopping down trees. And there's humans, which for some reason are really good at farming. And, like, reptiles, who are really good at gathering meat. I don't really know why that is.
What?
But like as you're out there, you're like getting quests and like building buildings. The interaction between the buildings is sort of real. It's not linear. So you get a quest to like build to send in three sets of traded goods, and like there'll be like two or three different combinations of buildings that you could have that will let you get those traded goods.
Mm-hmm.
So there's different ways of like designing your town, and you kind of want them all to be different so that they can like trade between each other and have different items available. There's a lot of like depth and nuance there. The other cool thing is like as you're like building out your little town, you're like in a clearing and there's forest around you. And then the forest has little like cordoned off areas that, you know, you're, as you chop through the trees, eventually you get to that area. You don't know what's in it till you get there. But you can tell if the area is a peaceful area or there's some like malevolent force there. And so like you may like chop your way through and find that there's nothing there except like, you know, berries to pick or like a farmable area or whatever it happens to be. Or it could be like a cursed temple or like I don't know. That was the first one that came to mind, but like a place where beasts live. And then you have to like send out your villagers to like solve whatever the problem happens to be in that area until it starts having an effect on your town, like, you know, killing your villagers or like cursing your food or what it happens to be. It's kind of fun. I was kind of hoping that those like cursed areas, there'd be some like combat element.
Mm-hmm.
Where you'd have to like build up soldiers to maybe fight the beast that you unleashed or whatever.
But, right.
The game is still in early access, so I think that might be coming. But for the moment, it's just mostly puzzles to solve. Like you send your guys over with the right tools and they'll bury the entrance to the evil tomb.
That seems neat.
It's a neat concept, but it's clear to me like they're still finishing it off, but everything they've done in it so far has been really cool. So I don't want to play too much of it because I don't want to be like sick of it by the time the actual game is finished.
Right. Yeah.
But so far so good.
All right, and that was, you got that on the summer. Steam with summer
Steam
sale,
which ended today.
Yeah, it just ended. So,
yeah, I hesitated to buy it. Like, I know, like, we're so close to like Baldur's Gate 3. Like, I don't want to get into anything before that comes out.
Yeah, I mean, what, Pikmin's really soon, and
yeah. Although I have a nice weekend to myself. I think I might pick up Jagged Alliance 3. So that
could be fun.
It could be fun. Fairly cheap.
I thought he was going to say he's going to pick up Pikmin.
I have Pikmin pre-ordered, but...
Oh, okay. Good.
But I have to fight my children for that game, so they're probably going to end up with it first.
Yeah, it's probably not going to be that short either. I don't know. They're like middle...
They tend like, to be short.
Like the first one hours. More... Pikmin 3 might have been a little longer. I'll let you know. I'll look it up.
So, you looking it up, Jeff?
Yeah.
They're all about the same. Like they're getting longer, but they're not long games. I don't think. Like if you just do the main quest,
it's like 13 hours.
Yeah, that's not bad. And the first one had the timer, right? Jeff,
yeah,
like,
that, you
two
know,
and three didn't
pretty,
have a
pretty,
timer,
pretty
right?
set, pretty set length.
Yeah,
I mean, you could beat it faster than 30 days, you know, so it would be slightly shorter, but yeah.
If four is the 20th,
yeah,
2 weeks from now,
next Friday,
next week? For 21st. Okay.
Wow, yeah. I thought we still had more.
Time is flying, Earl.
Yeah, I don't know where Jedi went.
It's already half over. We are.
Pikmin 1 is 8 hours and 2 minutes.
I mean, that's not long at all. And then it's not too much after that. We got Disney Illusion Island. That's the 28th. So back to back Switch games, weeks for me. So I'm hoping that game is good.
Yeah, I hope so. That doesn't have online though, does it?
I don't know. I was like, I like that art style. I like platformers. I'm in.
Because that's the one without any combat, right?
Is it?
Let's see. Illusion Island. Run, swim, swing, and jump your way. So I don't know if there's combat or not, but you don't seem to have a health meter, so
maybe that's what it is. But yeah, I mean, and that's perfectly fine. It's kind of Kirby's Epic Yawn, where it's just like you're more there for the ambiance and the environments and the platforming challenges.
Yeah, there do look like there's enemies though, so I don't know if you're avoiding them or if you're jumping on them like they're Goombas. And then there looks like they're straight up like Rayman platforming stuff in here too. Could be like that. It's like Rayman has combat, but not really. Like,
yeah,
you'll like hit an enemy out of the way or stomp on its head or something, but it's not, you're not fighting enemies except for like they're bosses in those games. Anyway, Tony, you play anything else?
I finished Pokemon Violet.
Violet. I was gonna say which one. There's so many of them.
Yes. I don't know. Pokemon was really fun. I kind of felt bad about finishing it because I'm like, I wish I could play more. And then it unlocked all the gyms for like a second run through, which I don't remember previous Pokemon games doing that. Like you can go back around the world and challenge all the gyms again, but at a level that's like the Pokemon are like leveled up to where you happen to be now.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So like, you know, the one you challenged at the beginning that where all the Pokemon are like level 10, they're now level 65. Cause that's where
you are.
You are. Which is cool. And also like as an element of like challenge and stuff. So I don't know. Maybe I will do that. I spent a lot of time with Pokemon, though. This is what happens. I get into these games, I play them for a very long time. I'm like, okay, I'm sick of it now. Can't go any longer. But
well, take a
break. I need a break.
Get ready for the DLC at the end of the year.
That's right. Exactly. We'll come back for that.
That's when you could return to us. So it's a good break there and move on. All right. I am going to try to shoot dinosaurs this week. Maybe
yes.
Maybe we can get together if any of you want to shoot dinosaurs. We can do that together. And
I enjoy shooting dinosaurs.
Yes, I'm curious about it, if nothing else.
Yeah, it seems like it is multiplayer only, so that'll be us playing together. So.
Yes, what I did not realize is that it's multiplayer only, but apparently up until the beta, I guess there's like an end game segment, and that was PvP, but I guess they changed it to like it could be PvP or PvE now.
Yeah, I don't want a PvP. Well, I mean, if it's like after whatever the narrative they're giving.
Well, yes, because the narrative is that I don't know the structure of this game, but I've been very intrigued to try to follow on with it.
Yeah, I am very interested because I thought you know these exosuits were. I didn't think they were mechs, but evidently they are. Because you can also get out of your exosuit and I guess, kill dinosaurs that way as a pilot.
I did not know that.
So we will find out. That game comes out tomorrow. Maybe we can find some time over the next week to get together, try a few levels of it. It looks like there's persistent leveling, so like your exosuit will level up, but there's different classes, so you can pick different ones. Yes, maybe we could try that this week. We won't have Pikmin because that'll come out next Friday.
So it's gonna be one of those episodes where Jeff is just here to buy time,
waiting till the countdown.
We need to come up with some great games to make the episode sound as long as possible for Jeff.
Get it right to the edge, and then when we end at midnight, he'll just cut off, and then he'll complain to us for the next 20 minutes that it wouldn't let him download it.
No, it let him download it, but it hadn't started.
Right, wouldn't let him start it.
Yeah, I'll wait till like, 12:03 or something, so it's all good.
Wait till the server switches it on for
yeah,
you.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. I bought that Pikmin 1 and 2 bundle, and I've been so busy with Diablo, basically, and PlayStation that
you didn't get to it yet. It's there. Summer is, half over. But
I will end up playing both of them. Those are great games. By the way, Chris, what do you think of the Battletoads game, the new Battletoads?
It's okay.
That is the developer of Illusion Island.
Okay.
That's all they've done.
Oh, it does remind me, because you mentioned Battletoads, we did get a new trailer for the DLC for Shredder's Revenge. Still no date, just 2023, but like it looks really cool. There's a survival mode. There's like a level up system now. I mean, there was a level up system before, but it seems like at the end of the level, you can either like get health or you can gain abilities. I'm not really sure how that was, but that was. I mean, it's a weird. The game looks great. I just want a date. Just give me a date.
Give me a date. Yeah. I will play some of that as well. But they have not revealed when that DLC is coming out.
No. But I mean, it's the same thing they did with the game, because I remember. I mean, that was.
Coming in summer.
Yes, that was.
What summer?
Because, there's not even any. I mean, I guess Gamescom is soon.
It's not too far off.
So maybe that's what they're saving it for. Who knows?
Gamescom, I'd say it's about a little over a month away. August 23rd through the
27th. Yeah. A good time to reveal it, though.
Yep. Just don't drop it in October, because October is very busy.
Not busy enough, apparently.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week with Dinos, and Jeff's going to play some more PlayStation, and maybe Pikmin 1 and 2.
Diablo.
And Diablo. But you
Jagged Alliance 3.
You finished Diablo, right? Like,
there is no finish.
Well, I mean, you beat Lilith, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, you're just doing endgame stuff where you're doing the world, what is it, the world events and the tree of something.
You have whispers. It's kind of like the main attraction after the end of the game is, like, you go out and do dungeons and they give you grim favors. You turn in the grim favors at the Tree of Whispers. And then the Tree of Whispers will be like, would you like a cache of helms or armor or gloves? And then you choose that. And it's so cool. And then you get these caches that turn dungeons into nightmare dungeons. And then.
And then
the numbers go up and up and up and up, 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 up.
Okay.
And then I was just trying to be like a little kid. And then
I was like, where is he going with this?
What sucks though I want to get my character maxed out, but like I'm still trying to get my wife and my buddy through the campaign. It's hard for us to line up to play. And it sucks because like helping them, I don't get enough experience to like level up at all. Like it's just like
sometimes sucks. Helping people is its own reward.
I guess, but like I wish that like, we could get on with it already.
Right. So
it sucks, whatever.
Breaking news here, Judge Corley stands by her decision. She is not, you know, enjoining, what is it? The FTC asked this court to enjoin the merger at issue pending resolution of the FTC's appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The motion is denied. This means that the FTC now needs to appeal. They need the appeal court to decide within the next day because the TRO, which is basically the timeline that was placed on Judge Corley's original order, they only have 27 hours left. So the appeals court has to look at everything in the next 27 hours and come to a decision on that. So we'll know very soon what's going on there.
That does remind me completely. There was news this week that we just completely grossed over. One, EA Sports revealed that FC24. That's coming out in September. I think the big one and the one that kind of is like there's a Gex trilogy coming out. From Limited Run Games, that's out sometime this year on everything. I think there's a missing Shanty game from the Game Boy Advance, I want to say, a sequel that got started that never got made, that they're gonna finish, and they're doing it on the Game Boy. They're actually doing the Game Boy card. I don't know if that's coming to anything else. And I think Sega of America employees unionized this week.
Nice. Right.
And then the Black Panther game got announced.
Yes, but no details. So
it's not much, but I guess that is what the new EA studio.
The theoretical Black Panther game got announced. One of the things I read about that announcement was a lot of times they announce these games super early to recruit staff. Right. We need people to work on this. So it exists. No. Come work for us.
So, I mean, if I was people, I would not really rush to work on a Marvel EA game after the ass one. So, that's just me, though.
What was the last Marvel EA? That was Square.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then, damn, the last one would have been Nemesis? That fighting game from the... Oh, my gosh. Where you get to create your own characters. I don't know if anybody remembers that. That was made from like EA Chicago.
Oh.
This was like
Rise of the Imperfects.
Yes.
Yeah, it was EA Vancouver. That was in
2005.
Yeah.
I knew that was at the end of like the PlayStation. I just remembered that was not like it was a rough go of like comic book games in the let's say first 30 years of gaming. but they've gotten better-ish.
Yeah, they're generally pretty good. I mean, Avengers was not good, but they've generally there's been some good ones. Spider-Man, the Batman games, Injustice, Ultimate Alliance, those all came out after that game, but.
That I don't know why Dad was going to say that. What does that remind me? I lost it. Never mind.
But you brought up the Gex trilogy from Limited Run. Limited Run announced a bunch of stuff coming. I don't know if they had like some sort of conference or press event or something. But, like a bunch of stuff came out of them the last day or so. They're also doing like a Jurassic Park collection. And it seems like they've created an engine that allows companies to kind of take their older games and bring them easily to modern consoles. So like those Gex games, the Jurassic Park games, they're all going through whatever this engine limited run has. So maybe we'll see more more retro collections out of them in the future as a publisher. Be neat. Especially thing, I think there was news this week that 87% of all games.
Yeah, that was the other thing we didn't talk about. Like 87% of games made before 2010 are inaccessible.
Yeah.
And like, you know, people always go after the weird things like the methodology and stuff. But the fact of the matter is, like, yes, there are retro games that are available. Like, I mean, I don't think you're ever not going to be able to find a Mario. And that's not even true. Like, there was a period of time, I would say, from the N64 through, like, to the start of the GameCube, you didn't have Nintendo games. Like, that was one of the reasons I bought the original Animal Crossing was because you had access to Nintendo games in that game. Mm-hmm. And that was, I mean, like, it's second nature now. But if you go back to it, that was one of the reasons why during the Wii's reveal, the Virtual Console was a big part of that. It's like, oh, now you can go back and play all of these retro games. And one, you know, it wasn't everybody's cup of tea. You still get complaints about its rollout. I mean, I guess you can't even get complaints because you can't access it anymore.
Oh, it's dead now.
Dude, I spent thousands on the Virtual Console. Like, no joke, dude. You have no idea how much money I spent on the Virtual Console.
I'm sure a lot of people did. I mean, as long as you still got your Wii. But, like, yeah, it does suck because, like, I mean, like, I think it's the equivalent. Like, it happens with movies, but, like, movies kind of come in and out of print. Like, there are movies that are inaccessible now. But for the most part, a lot of them do get republished. A lot of them are on streaming. A lot of them are on TV in some capacity where games. And I think the biggest advocate of that is, like, licensed games just don't exist anymore. Because you have to go back and get the license back, or the studio doesn't exist anymore. But, like, there's a good many of, like, I mean, I'm sure we can go through just the PlayStation 2 titles and just don't exist at all in any capacity.
Like, yep.
I'm just kind of curious now. Can you pay to bounce on anything?
PlayStation 2.
I mean, outside of PlayStation 2.
I don't think that's ever been brought anywhere else.
Like, that just came to mind because, like, that was, like, I remember when it was, like, huge. That was the PlayStation 2 outside of that. And it's, like, you know, like, 23 years later, I can mention a bouncer. Like, you know what it is. I'm sure most of you know what it is. I'm sure there's
people. Bouncer? I don't even know what that is.
It was a brawler that Square played. Yeah. It was, like, I mean, it was at the height of Square.
Yes, Square could do no wrong.
Yeah, they did wrong with this, but it was like it was visually at the time really neat looking, like really really good looking.
And again, it was like at least for us, it was like a PlayStation 2 launch title nearby. Yeah. Like one of it's like the big, you know, like, and I again, it's stuff like that. Like you remember, like I mean, another example. Again, really hyped up, not a great game. Right still on the Wii. That's not a game that's accessible, but also another one that was like, oh man, like the Wii, you know, like it's gonna, because you know, like Nintendo coming out of the GameCube and N64 had the reputation of like kiddiness and all. So it's like, oh, it's like this big mature title. Granted, not a great game, inaccessible now. Red Steel 2, much better game, inaccessible now. And it's like, those were games that were hyped up, that were bigged up, that are kind of trapped on. I mean, you could say two systems because they were also on the Wii U if you have it, but. Like, the fact of the matter is, like, those games are almost 20 years old. The fact that, like, they're just lost to history right now.
Yep. This is a shame. All right. Well, we will be back next week. Tried to wrap this, and then Earl remembered that there was news.
Yes.
But it's good because I think that was good for us to touch on. We'll be back next week. Dinosaurs, I don't know, some other stuff. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.